the third Sunday of Advent. This is called, in Christian tradition, Gaudete Sunday. You know, another one of those Latin phrases, but rejoicing, joy. Up here on our banners, the third Sunday there, rejoice. And so part of what we had, the joy of what is in our past. And all of us, I'm sure, you know, you can remember the joy of your initial salvation, the joy of past things that have happened. And we look back to those things like Israel did. And we remember, or we should see, God's faithfulness to us in those times past. But sometimes there are tears in the present. And sometimes, and we all have struggles. And we wonder what's going on. And this time of year, it's good to remember what God, our faithful God, and what he has done will be faithful in the future. And so while, yes, we will have tears, they are not tears without hope. And so we know that we have something greater to look forward to. And so the Advent readings that the boy read, the Old Testament reading from Isaiah, it's a tale of two Advents. The first part, you know, preaching the good tidings, preaching the good news, proclaiming liberty, proclaiming freedom, because a redeemer, what in Hebrew is called the great Goel, our kinsman redeemer that has come to save us. In fact, if you know, in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 4, when Jesus was in the synagogue, he read from that passage, and he stopped after the first part, I have come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stopped right there. That's the first Advent. But Isaiah went on to talk about a day of vengeance, the day of the Lord, and the coming of our King with righteousness and joy. And so that is something that we look to the past, but we have hope for the future. Then the epistle reading from Thessalonians, famous verse, or we know that verse, rejoice always. And nowadays that can be hard sometimes. And it goes on to talk about our sanctification, who we are, how we are being made better, is by God's work in us, and we are cooperating with him. It is our sanctification from the God of peace. He is that ultimate peace. In fact, earlier, if you were here, we were talking about peace in the Middle East. And will there be peace? Well, the ultimate peace will be accomplished. We've got a long way to get there. But the ultimate peace is because the King of righteousness, the King of peace, will bring it. That begins at that second Advent, like Sue was talking about. So we remember the first Advent, the first coming of baby Jesus, and we look forward with hope amidst our tears to that second Advent, the second coming of our Messiah. And then the gospel reading from John, you know, John the Baptist, he was bearing witness. He had a special role in salvation history, to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, to make the way of the Lord straight. And so he performed a very important function. He was not the Messiah. He was, notice how he deflected everything to one who is greater than he, Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to give you a little bit of an exposition of Psalm 126 that we use for our call to worship. I started off, it's called a psalm of ascent. It was one of the psalms that the Hebrews would sing, especially at tabernacles, which celebrating the coming, the tabernacling of God with his people, a tent dwelling with his people. And so it was a time of joy. They were coming from all over the world to come back to Israel during tabernacles. And so Psalm 126, the historical context, speaks of a restoration from captivity, which and a little history, in 538 BC, under the Persian king Cyrus the Great, he allowed the Jewish people to go back. And so they were restored from all their captivity. In fact, in Isaiah calls Cyrus a Messiah. That word just means anointed one. God used a pagan king, Cyrus the Great of Persia, to fulfill his promises and his will for his people, to send them back to Jerusalem. So you know the story under Ezra and Nehemiah and the return of the Israelite people. So part of that psalm then is that initial joy. Look what God has done has started to fade. Can we maybe identify with that? Sometimes the joy of past whatever starts to fade and we wonder. And so what about us? Well, first of all, the first three verses of that psalm, remember the good old days. You know, you're a bunch of seasoned citizens. We remember the good old days, not like those young kids today. But to remember, and Israel especially, remembering God's mighty acts, you know, brought them out of Egypt. And he restored his people from the pain of the Babylonian captivity, which, you know, back 70 years, the captivity was 70 years. But in 597, only a couple of you were born then, 597 B.C., under Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem was, captives were taken back. And then in 586 B.C., the temple was destroyed. So the Jewish people lost their understanding and the house, the temple that God had commanded them to build, representing his presence with his people. So captivity was not just political displacement. It was a loss of their central worship. It was the loss of the land. Even today, we see the importance of the land and how they are attached to it. So, you know, it's not just political. It's much deeper than that, hard for us to understand. So God's mighty acts, Isaiah 51:11 says, so the ransomed, redeemed, bought out of slavery from God, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion, Jerusalem, with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And so then he talks about the people's response. Look what God did. Amazement at what God can do. And they wanted to announce it to the world. Very appropriate during Advent. We should want to announce, obviously, the nativity, the Advent, the first Advent. That is something that I'm assuming everyone in here has professed Christ. We should want to announce that good news. In fact, that's what the gospel means. The good news, we should be announcing it. And we should want to announce it to the world. And then some words that I use, laughter and singing. And if you repeat that I said this, I will deny it. In Jeremiah 31:13, those same words are used with dancing. Joy with dancing. I think that's the only mistake in the Bible. But the joy, the laughter, the singing, yes, the dancing, at their return and being restored to a land that is now, you know, went from barrenness and desolation, began to be fertile again. So remember the good old days. That's something good for all of us. With our hoary heads, we should look back and remember the faithfulness of God in our lives, despite how unfaithful we all can be. But then we should rejoice in our present and future hope. Rejoice. And so there's a prayer for blessing. You know, we have experienced what God has done, the Israelites especially, on the world stage. You know, the world saw what God has done for these Jewish people. So the world stage in the past, but that should affect our daily lives now. Because God is faithful, we can be faithful. And it should impact our lives today. And so our responsibility is to remember God's faithfulness, to have expectant trust, hope. We've talked about that word. We don't hope like, I hope I win the lottery. Hope in the Bible is something we are assured of coming and affects our present because we know the end. And then at the end, part of that psalm, as part of the wise part of the reading, is to rejoice. And then it talked about sow in tears, reap in joy. In the ancient Near East, the Middle East, sowing, the death of the seed, was associated with weeping, but then harvest was a time of joy. And so sowing and reaping. So death, the barrenness of the land, the barrenness of Israel's captivity, leads to the rebirth of a fruitful land. And so, that picture of sowing in sorrow, the tears of sowing, but we trust the Lord for the joy of the harvest. The ancient Irish, or he was British actually, ancient British monk Bede from church history wrote a major history on the in England of the Christian church in England. But he has a quote: "All believers know that they must experience the sorrows of this life before they reach their heavenly joy." Duh. But that's good for us to remember. And that's what we, during the first Advent, you know, we are looking forward to the joy of what our Savior has done. Here's another good quote from some theologians named Tucker and Grant. "In these seasons, memory and hope play a powerful role. We read and reread the birth narratives of Jesus." That's why we read a lot of scripture. Hopefully that doesn't become mundane. "And thus we are grounding our identity in a story, the birth narratives, and hearing the good news of an expectant hope." But sometimes Psalm 126 is read during Lent, during the Easter season, because the sorrow of the death, the suffering, the death of the Messiah is, the evil, the sorrow of that leads to Resurrection Sunday and the joy. So like Psalm 126 ends, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." So today, appropriate Sunday, Gaudete, rejoice, joy. And the Bible is wrong, no dancing. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this third Sunday of Advent. And we thank you for your word and just the history and the meaning of Psalm 126 as the people remember and rejoice. But in the meantime, yes, we have much sorrow in this fallen world. But we can persevere because we know that second advent is coming. And no matter how bad it gets, during Christmas time especially, we just rejoice in the hope of our Savior and the joy of the season, looking forward to that second advent. We thank you for what Christ has done for us. And it's in his precious name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you.